You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 21. And if you've ever wanted to make your business bigger, really leverage your time and talent more effectively, you're going to love my guest today, Andrea Hess of Empowered Soul. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello, everyone. Melanie here, and I'm excited for today's conversation, The Energy Secrets of Leverage. And I want to introduce my guest who's joining me, a new friend, although we've known each other for years and years and years, Andrea Hess. Now, Andrea is a psychic and spiritual teacher and the creator of Soul Realignment. And Soul Realignment is an intuitive healing modality that serves clients in understanding who they are at a soul level and how they're creating their human experience so they can live a divine self-expression. Soul Realignment uses the Akashic Records, and if you don't know what that is, we'll get into that in a minute, as a tool to help clients step into their spiritual power. And Andrea's trained almost 4,000 students in 40 countries worldwide in her modality. She's also the author of the book, Unlock Your Intuition. Andrea, thanks so much for coming to the podcast today and, you know, talking about a very cool way to amplify your success.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to geek out with you over this.
I know. We were geeking out so much when we were having our conversation that day.
We're like, stop. Let's stop and save it.
Exactly. We don't want to like waste it all just between the two of us.
That's right.
Not that it was a waste, but it was very inspiring. You know, we're talking a lot in our conversation about the energy secrets behind leverage. And, you know, leverage being this concept that sometimes it takes a very small amount of movement to move huge amount. Like really, it's the key to abundance. It's the key to making a greater impact. And many people talk about scaling their business. And you've really done this in your own life. But there is maybe some different things you did to expand your leverage. So I can't wait to dig into it. Maybe you can just share with everybody a little bit of how you got to where you are now.
Sure. So where I am now, I mean, I really embrace this whole idea of leveraging the heck out of my business through marketing automation. So right now, my business does a pretty good job running mostly without me. My assistant does customer service. I show up for 4 phone calls a month, and I'm enrolling between 100 and 150 students every month, pretty much on autopilot. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that lets me create new content and create new programs when I want, because I want to. And it's really taken all the kind of have to out of my business and, quite frankly, a lot of my life as well. So it's a really beautiful thing. And that's not at all where I started, right?
Obviously. Right.
But I thought it would sort of be interesting to like get a snapshot of what it is today. I mean, when I started out, I was really way, I have to say, from the perspective that I have now, overworking and almost doing way too much handholding of my students, investing a lot of one-on-one time, making sure that they really got everything they needed. And, you know, so I was working with maybe 10 students a month tops. And it was so time consuming that the modality actually was not growing because I was bottlenecking it. I really was. Like, having more students would have meant so much of my personal time that I became the bottleneck in that business. And I think that's where entrepreneurs frequently find themselves, although maybe not consciously, right? Because I think sometimes we act as the bottleneck and we are not even realizing it because we start out doing so much on our own and, you know, being busy is sort of our default, right? Working hard to get successful, all that stuff, right? And so we have a hard time stepping away from that default mode of working our butts off and not even realizing that the amount of work we're doing is actually bottlenecking the growth that we're able to experience in our business.
Yes, I see this all the time. I know I certainly went through, and I love that you use the word bottleneck because it's one of my key phrases right now of really understanding, you know, when we're getting in our own way. And, you know, in my experience, sometimes it's a mindset, right? Like our paradigm of what's possible has mm-hmm. been skewed to it has to be busy or I have to work all the time or it has to be just me. And sometimes it's just knowing what tools and technology would help us be able to experience more leverage. So what was the key for you as you moved through to getting more leverage in your business?
Well, from the mindset perspective, it was absolutely trusting my students more and giving them more responsibility, mm-hmm. right? Because I come from the healing arts and, you know, we may be a little bit chronic about taking on too much responsibility for our clients. That may be a problem in the healing arts in general, right? So I was definitely coming from that perspective. And leverage meant I just couldn't spoon feed. I couldn't babysit. I couldn't make sure everybody gets it. And I had to just take a breath and be like, you know what? People are going to get what they need based on themselves, right? It's based on their choices. They are responsible for also asking questions rather than me trying to anticipate everything. And so bit by bit, I started out probably doing private coaching sessions with all my students. And then I reduced it to doing just one. And then I went to doing lots of community calls for everybody. And I was answering questions via email and a forum. And from there, I went all the way just to doing these community calls that students can participate in twice a month. So that was sort of the progression in terms of changing the format of the business. The mindset part was trusting my students more, giving them more responsibility.
What do you mean by that? Like, what would that look like for someone who is thinking, okay, well, maybe I can do that too?
I think just, you know, if your work is good, first of all, I mean, you know, when you're doing your work long enough, you know what questions you always get. So obviously, I changed up the content of my programs bit by bit. I've revised the whole course maybe 3 times to make sure that the questions I was getting before would get answered in the content, right? But also by trusting my students, I mean, like trusting that they will ask for help if they need it and creating very clear channels for them to get support and get help, but also having ironclad boundaries around those channels. And trusting my students that they would use the appropriate channels to get the support when they need it and not trying to kind of be hovering like a mother hen, you know, going, are you okay? Are you okay? That really doesn't work when you're working with a lot of people, right?
Yeah. So letting go basically of it and trusting that they're self-sufficient and aware enough to ask for what they need.
And they're going to get what they need from it. Mm. Right? Because that was the thing. I mean, my modality for me is like my second child, right? And I think we all feel like that about our sacred work. If it's our work that we're putting out into the world, it's like another child, right? And we don't want to be helicopter moms where we're hovering all the time. And so I think I was very protective of the modality. I wanted to make sure that everybody does it right. And so when I say trust my students more, it's really, yeah, it was about letting go and letting them take responsibility for themselves, for their journey, let them take responsibility for getting support when they need it, and also letting them have responsibility for knowing when they need support, right? Then they can just ask for it rather than me trying to, well,
manage them.
Hover. Yeah. Yeah. Hover and be like, are you okay? Right. So, but that took a lot, you know, it is really letting go of control. And I do think parenting is a pretty good analogy, right? I mean, when our kids go to school the first time, oh my God, that was a hard day for me. I think when my daughter was off to kindergarten, and it is just this long practice of letting go and trusting ourselves too, in that our work can stand on its own.
I love that. And it's very evolved place to be in delivering such profound transformational work is, you know, trusting on a higher level, people getting the exact experience they need, whatever form that's looking like.
Yeah. And also once they're done with the program, trusting that they're going to continue to do the work that they need to do. And quite frankly, sometimes that does not look like what I taught them. And I think we've all had that experience as teachers, right? Where people are like, oh, I learned this from you. And you're like, I'm pretty sure I didn't teach that, but okay, right? So it happens. And it is a very surrendered state. And at the same time, it is so liberating. And I think a far more attractive energy to our clients and our students and the people that we serve, because they know that they can be themselves in our work. They don't have to conform to any kind of standard that we set for them, right? So we're really treating them in a way that I think is very liberating. They can take our work and make it their own. And we're not imposing anything on them in terms of how it should be done.
Yeah, and I'm also hearing that it's a really powerful way to lead and inspire transformation in others is to take a little bit of a step back and let them have their own experience.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess it is. And I think it's also a way of being very hands off, right? Because when I think of leadership, I always think of myself as a very reluctant leader. I just thought something needed to be done. And I was like, someone should create this. And I realized, well, darn it, I'm someone. So I guess I should. And so I did. I mean, I never wanted to create my own modality. And I never thought it would grow to the size that it has, especially over the last 2 or 3 years. And so the idea of being in a position of leadership is still a little bit odd for me personally. I don't really think of that all the time. And I think actually when we go ahead and step out and take a risk and put our work out into the world, but then also don't become too preoccupied with the impact that we're having, like we don't get attached to the impact, it actually, again, allows for more impact. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I know so many people who want to change the world almost by imposing on others. And people don't like that. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes it when we tell them, here's what you should be doing and here's exactly how you should be doing it. Whereas if we say, here's a tool set, and while you're in this program, please do this, and then we just let it go and release it out into the world, yeah, like I said, it's a more attractive energy.
Yeah, I get that. So you talk about energy secrets. You know, what are some of the secrets, energy secrets, that help you expand your leverage?
So I think it's hugely important that we are mindful of our focus. The first thing that we have to do is get out of other people's business. Mm. And you know, to my students, when they're working with clients and they're growing their private practice, I always tell them, you know what, if you're thinking about your clients while you're driving or taking a shower or fixing dinner, you have a problem because you're in their business and you're not working with that client. So unless you're preparing for a session or in a session or doing follow-up on a session, don't be thinking about your clients. Be in your own experience, because we're really here only to create our own experience. That's where we have power of choice, our own experience. And I find that so many people exhaust themselves first by thinking about individual clients, right? We worry about them. We think about them. We think about the coaching session we just had. And we're like, oh, I should have said this, right? So from there, I think we end up thinking about our business an awful lot in a way that can be very unhealthy, where it becomes this perpetual preoccupation. And I think now we're all geeks, right? And entrepreneurs, I mean, we work 24/7 really because our business is our baby. But at the same time, our business has to serve us. And what I see a lot of times happening is that entrepreneurs end up serving their business. And the business becomes the master. And that's the wrong way around. And again, we're not going to allow ourselves to energetically grow our business from that perspective. So it's always like, where is our focus? Is our focus on the experience that we want to create for ourselves? And is the business serving me in crafting the human experience I want for myself. And that is the first and foremost thing we've got to consider. Because if we're not serving ourselves, we sure as heck can't serve anybody else. Right? And we just go into a place of lack and burnout. And from that place, I mean, I don't want someone serving me from that place. Right? And so I think that that focus coming back to ourselves and going, what do I really want to create for myself here? It sounds so selfish. And yet from that place, we stand at the highest level of service. That's what I believe anyway.
Yeah, that's a really great way to look at running your business, especially when you do transformation work, is finish the job and then leave it alone. You know, you don't have to ruminate about it to be the best version of you.
Exactly. And energy flows where your attention goes, right? I mean, we've all heard that saying a million times. It's very true. And if we're constantly divvying out our attention and our energy towards people that, quite frankly, I mean, we're not serving right in that moment, right? And they need to be serving themselves and take responsibility for themselves. They don't need us sending all this energy their way through our attention and focus, right? Mm-hmm. They don't need us to do that. Let's just trust our clients that in between sessions, they're doing their work and we're focused on our experience, and that's perfect. So it really is, when we're talking about energy management, it's a matter of focus. It's the same thing when people talk about energetic sensitivity, which you and I touched upon, right? When we feel like we can't handle being in a crowded room, or if we're speaking in front of a live audience, that it's just a lot coming at us. I don't know if your clients go through some of that.
Yeah, some of them do. And I have bouts of it myself. You know, I go in and out of feeling really sensitized to groups of people and then feeling really fine in groups. So I move in and out of it.
Yeah. And it really is a matter of how we manage our focus, because when we're overly sensitive, it usually comes from a place of self-protection. We often learn to monitor our environment, right? And we learned this really, really early on as kids. Some of us didn't have awesome childhoods, myself included. And so basically there was always, I mean, I know that growing up, I was always paying attention and kind of walking on eggshells because my mom could be very volatile, right? And so we learned, just as a defense mechanism, to constantly energetically monitor the mood of our environment to make sure that we're safe, and also to tell us how we should be showing up in order to stay safe. Now, that we learn as children, and sometimes we carry that through into adulthood. And then when we go into situations that are uncomfortable, like we're standing in front of a group of people on stage, or even if we're just going to our first networking event we've never been to and we're still uncomfortable, right? Because it's new. We kind of go back into that tool set of staying safe by monitoring everybody in the room. And when we try to do that with 20 people or 100 people in the room, we get very overwhelmed because there's no way to do that. And really, that's where that energetic sensitivity and overwhelm can come from. It's really about a very self-protective mechanism.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know in my childhood, because I wasn't the happy childhood club either. But, you know, my protection system was, I've got to get it right or mm-hmm. hell might break loose.
Right.
So I wonder how many people who are trying to have this big impact and they're really, you know, they're standing in their gift and want to get it out in a bigger way, or just, you know, support people and serve people. Sometimes this, what if I don't get it right? Or, you know, what are people going to think? I see that also being an energy management thing we have to master.
It's
huge. I had to learn to not be attached to the approval of others mm-hmm. in order to keep my energy high and to be willing to keep going, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially I think for women, that's harder, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're conditioned more into worrying about what other people think of us. And again, where the energy management comes in is to pull back our focus into our own experience and go, well, am I having fun? Do I enjoy this? Am I relishing in the expression of my gifts right now, right? Because there is nothing more fun than when we're in our brilliance and doing our sacred work, right? And when we know we're just on. That's awesome. But the only way to get there is to really bring our focus to ourselves and stop monitoring the room, right? And that we can do that very consciously. We can bring our energy back, focus on our bodies, focus back onto, okay, how am I feeling? Where are my thoughts? What am I doing next? And then go from there and just have a blast and really make a conscious effort to enjoy ourselves, which again, sounds really selfish, but when we're having fun serving people, I think they have way more fun too.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than listening to someone who's like slogging through a presentation, right? Or who's petrified to like make a pitch, right? Nobody, like the whole room starts squirming if someone on stage starts squirming.
Yes, yes, yes. So I want to dig just a little bit more inside the energy secret of how you're leveraging your business through group programs.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good point for people to maybe be inspired by what you're doing, because a lot of people who do coaching or any kind of teaching, have a modality, they get in their own way in that bottleneck of, if I'm not touching this client, how can I trust someone else, right? Like there's a real fear of letting go of the modality or the work and trusting others to do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or to do it in a group and to not necessarily be able to see that person get the result, right? So
right. The first thing we really do have to do is detach from the impact we're having.
Right.
Because if, you know, there's sort of this, sometimes I think people need the gratification of seeing the impact that they're making in someone's life. Mm. And that's why we like to be up close and personal, because we really want to know that we made a difference. And in many ways, it's none of our business. And it holds us back. And so we need to detach from that and just trust that we're having whatever impact the client is ready for, right? So we come back to trust. But I think it's also very important when we transition into groups, there's a couple of rules I have come up with about that that have really served me well. It's to really treat the group as one individual entity. So it's not four people in a group. It's one group. And so if you're running a very large business where you have a group of 60 and a group of 300 and a group of 12, you're actually having only three relationships because you have three groups. And so you are one-on-one with the group and your relationship is with that group of people, but we see them as one entity rather than a collection of individuals. Because as soon as we go into a collection of individuals and we try to serve them all individually, we get exhausted and we will not allow our groups to grow. And I know that I've had clients like that where their groups are always stuck at like 4 to 6 people. I'm sure you have too. And it just won't grow beyond that.
Yeah, I definitely have. And I've seen where people hit their upper limit with a group and they're like, this is the most I've ever been able to get in this group.
Yeah.
So I want to hear more about this because this is a huge breakthrough moment for so many people that do this kind of work.
I have a relationship with my students. There's me and there's my students. My students are one group of people. And here's the other rule. So I don't put the needs of an individual above the group, right? So all the same rules apply to everybody. I don't do special favors. I don't give special attention to the squeaky wheel, right? And I really remind my students constantly that they are part of a group. And I will actually, you know, if someone is like, oh, but I need this special advice, or, you know, I'm different and therefore I need this, you know, I remind them that it's actually really not fair, and that if I offered it for you, I would have to offer it to all 3,000 something of my current community, and that there's just no way I can do that. And so I really gently and lovingly remind them that I'm serving a large group of people here, that I have to uphold the same boundaries and the same rules for everybody. And they actually, it really works. It's a beautiful thing. They're like, oh yeah, because they forget. They forget because they think they're having a one-on-one relationship with me a lot of the time, right? And that's the beauty. When we have a one-on-one relationship with the group, our students feel like they're having this more intimate relationship, but we're not exhausted by trying to maintain hundreds of relationships all at once.
That's a brilliant, brilliant shift in perspective. And what I'm kind of like, this little download's coming to me is that you're basically up-leveling the collective body of the group, mm-hmm. knowing that everybody in the group is going to be up-leveled through that process instead of going into the individual experiences. And it's a very different way to look at groups.
Yeah. And we do have to have ironclad boundaries. And yes. that's why we have to start with the detachment, right? Because if we're worried about every single person's experience and we're in their business, you know, still trying to get the feel-good hit from their transformation, that kind of thing, there's no way. There's no way we can step into that kind of relationship that allows us to really hold space for a ton of people. I mean, you know, 100 students plus every month is a lot of people. And I remember, I think I shared with you on our conversation, the first time I had that many people enroll, I freaked out completely. I mean, I really did, because it felt so big and like such a huge and humbling, beautiful, but responsibility. And then the next thing I did was sit down and do some major restructuring, because I knew that from this one freak out that I wouldn't let it happen again unless I restructured my program to change how I was supporting people. And, you know, then I had to just change the rules for everybody. and it was smooth sailing from there on. And now I have room for more leverage. There's a couple of tweaks I still have to make to the program. And that's the other thing. You know, I think it's a beautiful thing to start one-on-one and then small groups and then let the groups grow, because the more we work in large groups, the more crystal clear we have to be in our communication. I mean, there's nothing worse than miscommunicating to 500 people at the same time, right? I mean, you and I both know the email overload we get from that, right? It's like, crap. So I think being willing to learn from the questions we get and being willing to redo our programs and changing our content, because a lot of times people get really attached where you're creating a class, you're creating all the videos, all the content. It's a massive amount of work, right? And I mean, my level one program is like 20 plus hours on video. So it's a lot, it's a huge program, but we get so attached to it. Once it's complete, we're like, haha, it's done. And we're not always so happy at the idea of redoing it all.
Yes, I've had that one.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm like, I'm going to redo my level one program this year. I am not exactly like leaping up and down, but at the same time, I know that the small shifts that I'm going to make will allow me to go to the place where I can serve 300 students a month. And I know that already, just because I've kind of redesigned a few things in my head. And I think we just need to be willing to do that, to let our program change and grow as our community grows. And the other thing is to commit to what we've created, because for a while there I was Miss Launch-a-Lot. Right? I mean, I had a new program.
I'm laughing because I call it launch addiction. Yes, let's do another launch.
Yeah, you know what? Let's create a new program. I mean, I have so much content in my library. It's insane. Because I swear, for every 2 months, I was launching something new. And it's when I stopped the madness and really focused on making this modality just the best thing ever and putting all my attention on marketing it and on supporting it, that's when it really grew. And my income actually grew a lot from that. And weirdly enough, it was fewer offers. That really made a difference.
Thank you for saying that. I truly believe simplifying our offers is the key to multiplying our prosperity. And I want to dig into this idea of prosperity a little bit too, because I think, you know, one of the things that you have to maybe shift your mindset around and really maybe even evolve your energy is towards your prosperity. Because if you're going to trust at this level and you're going to let go at this level, I think a lot of people, they dive back into the business because they're feeling fearful about, oh my God, I can't afford to lose this client, or I can't afford for this to not work right. What's your take on that and how it connects with prosperity?
Yeah, here's where I think the key is. And it is going back to the launching a lot and just simplifying and just having like one offer at the front end, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one skill set we absolutely need. And it's both for simplicity and prosperity. And that is lead generation. Because we get less attached. I mean, if you've got 5,000 people coming on your list and people don't like what you're offering, you don't care. It's fine.
Next. Not going to please everybody here.
Exactly. And it's kind of interesting, right? How something so, it sounds so businessy, master lead generation, but I mean, it lets us be in the state of abundance, knowing that there are people who are flowing through. And over time, it becomes pretty predictable what percentage of those people are actually going to turn into clients. And once we've got that down and we know how to turn on our lead gen, I think that's where we can start relaxing and working less and trusting our systems to work for us. Because that's where I find people's systems often fall down, mm-hmm. right? They're working really hard on the inside of their business. They're like, you know, writing their newsletters and whatever. They're keeping in touch. They're putting new offers in front of people. But are brand new people hearing and engaging with our brand? Are they engaging with our front end, you know, freebies and stuff like that? And I think people do have problems with making that happen. And it gets neglected a lot.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people get so immersed in serving the clients they have, they forget to really continually to nurture the lead generation side so that it does continue to fuel and feed their pipeline. Yeah. Oh, and yeah. I've had those moments where all of a sudden a lead generation resource went away. You know, something that always brought me my best clients was no longer there. And you think, oh crap. Okay. I think I over relied on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some people get their clients, they do a speaking event, they sponsor an event, they enroll a bunch of clients, they're busy serving those clients. Next thing you know, 3 months later, all the payments have been made and they're like, oh, I went from feast to famine because exactly. I forgot that I need to generate some leads. So, I mean, I love online lead generation for that, but it doesn't have to be that. It's just keep your speaking calendar full, right? Mm-hmm. Or constantly be networking, whatever it is that works, but just don't stop. But there is this sense of abundance when you know there's always someone new in the pipeline. And that does give us the freedom, I think, then to simplify our offers and say, you know what, I'm not trying to create 15 things so I can serve 15 kinds of people. Here's the one thing that I got, and I know that I can put thousands and thousands of eyeballs on it enough that, you know, I can make the money that I want and just on that one offer or two offers. So I really do think their lead gen is the key to that.
Well, ultimately what I think you're explaining here is the energy secret of abundance and really allowing abundance to flow in all of the facets. And that's a new mindset for a lot of people because they have been living in scarcity. And I think if you want to get to this level of leverage, fundamentally, you've got to embrace abundance.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many people in the world. And we are so blessed to be living right now where, I mean, I'm sitting in my office here in Mesa, Arizona, and thousands of people can see an invitation to my free webinar, and I don't have to even do anything, right? That's a miracle. I mean, we live in an amazing time where as individuals, we can reach millions of people. So it's a level playing field. My God, it's amazing. And this has never been available to us before. So I think it's the most exciting, abundant time to be alive in. We have so much opportunity. We have so much freedom of choice. We just have to be willing to embrace it and not try to maintain security and safety at the same time as we also want to create crazy expansion because those two things don't go together.
Absolutely.
There's risk in every step of this, and it feels yes. like that, right? Every time we change our program, every time we take a component away because it's just not sustainable at larger numbers. I mean, I know that I always felt like it was like a little death every time, right? It feels like a huge risk. We have to leave our old self behind as a service provider and step up into a whole new state of being. And it does take that, absolutely. But the opportunity is just endless. It's amazing.
I agree. I'm so glad we had this conversation today. It's actually inspired me. And I know you're going to be inspiring a lot of other people. But I think what we've done here is really open up a whole new way to expand our business and recognizing how valuable, you know, doing it with energy management is. Andrea, where's a great place for people to come learn more about you?
Soulrealignment.com is a great place, or empoweredsoul.com. Those are my two websites. On Empowered Soul, I talk a little bit more about entrepreneurship, although I'm not really working actively with entrepreneurs. I blog a lot about, about the energetics of business. So I think for your audience, that might be the place to go.
Oh, great. Well, we'll make sure it's posted in the show notes. You can always head over to melaniebenson.com/blog and put in energy secrets, and you'll find the episode, and all the links will be available for you there. Andrea, thanks so much. I feel like we've done a little business success upgrade here today for so many people that'll be listening in, and you're such a gift to all of us. Thanks for sharing your wisdom today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
All right. Well, we will look forward to another power-packed session next week. Make sure that if you are not listening on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or Google Play, you can easily subscribe to amplify your success in all those channels. And we will see you again next week. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Amplify Your Success podcast with your host, Melanie Benson. Want to get connected to other thought leaders and visionaries transforming the world? Join the free Amplify Your Success community at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. And you can quickly find all the resources from today's episode on Melanie's blog at melaniebenson.com/blog. Just put today's episode number in the search bar. Now choose to get amplified today. See you next week.